and forgiveness for our sins is taken from Galatians chapter 3, 1 through 14. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, arise and hear the good news. Brothers and sisters, as the Holy Spirit testifies in the Word, those who've been baptized into union with Jesus Christ, God promises you forgiveness of the Father, the victory of the Son, and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us respond with joyce, but by joyce, a joyful song unto the Lord our God. We come before Almighty God by faith in the heavenly places with our hearts open, where He can see all our desires and from whom no secrets are hid. We submit ourselves humbly to His Word that we might be shaped and changed, be more like our Savior in Christ Jesus. Let us hear and respond in faith that we may perfectly love God and magnify His glorious name through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's will for life this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 52, 1 through 15. These are the words of God. Awake, awake, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from the net to chains on your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. At first my people went down to Egypt to live. Lately, Assyria has oppressed them. And now, what do I have here, declares the Lord? For my people have been taken away for nothing, and those who rule them mock, declares the Lord. And all day long my name is constantly blasphemed. Therefore my people will know my name. Therefore in that day they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen will lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see. For what they had not heard, have not heard, they will understand. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to him now in prayer and ask for the Spirit's blessing upon the reading and proclamation of his word. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, our Father in heaven, princes persecute us without cause because our heart stands in awe of your words. We rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. We despise falsehood, but we love your law. 7 times a day we praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. We hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. Our souls keep your testimonies, and we love them exceedingly. We keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all our ways are before you. Speak to us now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Open our ears so we may hear your truth. Open up our minds, give us knowledge and understanding. Open up our hearts to give us love. And move us, Lord, by your Spirit to go forth with joy, serving you in this world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear the word of God, to be cut by the sword of the Spirit and be changed to be more like Christ Jesus, let us stand together and sing unto the Lord our God. And into Hebrews 4, verse 11. Hebrews 3, verse 12 through Hebrews 4, verse 11. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Hebrews 3, verse 12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again said a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of His holy and infallible Word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, as I mentioned earlier, our church, Hamline Reformed, will participate in an ecumenical community service in Esteline. Ecumenical events like we partake in Castlewood and Esteline provide us the opportunity to witness to our communities to the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And one thing that unites us, or ought to unite us, is the belief of the gospel of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ, which is the true gospel. Because for us to have unity, we need to believe in the same God, the same Jesus, and the same gospel. So first off, let's define terms. What is the gospel? The word gospel technically means good news. Gospel means good news. And using that definition, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news that Jesus died for your sins. That's good, right? The apostles preached the gospel to the Jews and Gentiles that they may have salvation. Jesus died for your sins. Repent and believe the gospel. That's good news. And this is a great evangelistic tool. Tell people who know their sin, are convicted by sin, and need to hear the saving message. Jesus died for your sins. Repent and believe. This, brothers and sisters, this is an uplifting message. Jesus died for your sins. If you recognize your sin, this message will pick you up. And it'll move you to live a life of repentance and obedience. Now, in the ministry of the church, what if that isn't the whole message of the gospel? What if we have left something out? What if we've only shared half the message or half the gift? Yes, the gospel is good news for sinners. Sinners, a group from which we have moved out, and now we are counted righteous in Jesus Christ. But what if the gospel is more good news than just your salvation? We might say we don't need more, right? But if God is the author of the great story of redemption, in which we find ourselves, in which we participate, we are characters in this story, do you really want to turn down more of what God has to say? Do we really want to say to God, no, please, God, stop there. We have enough of the message. No more of your grace. That's absurd, right? It doesn't make sense. A few examples of how gospel is used in Holy Scripture. Matthew 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Mark 1, 14 and 15. After John the baptizer was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the gospel. One more, Luke 9, 1 through 6. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Now, as you hear these messages from Matthew, Mark, and Luke during the first century when Jesus carried out his earthly ministry, so think context. Think the situation in which Jesus lived, the situation in which he preached this message. If the gospel is simply good news that Jesus died for your sins, would this message be understood? If Jesus went and preached the gospel, sent the disciples out to preach the gospel, would that make sense? Would the disciples be understood as they went from town to town to town? Hey, our rabbi, Jesus, is going to die for your sins. Repent and believe. Well, has he died yet? Well, not yet. He will. Why should we believe you? So think context when you hear these messages. The gospel has to be more than that to be understood. Consider our sermon text from Hebrews 4. Hebrews 3 and 4. I'll read the first six verses again from Hebrews 4. Since the promise of entering God's rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us. This is first century Hebrew Christians. We have all had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. Who's they? That first generation of Israelites who came out of Egypt. They have the gospel preached to them. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God had said, I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, as those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. So let's be very clear. What the author of Hebrews is saying on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is the first generation of Israelites came out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, said, God, we love you. God said, I love you back. God received the law, heard the gospel, but did not believe. That's what's being written here. Israel in the Old Covenant had the gospel preached to them. Do you think that gospel was the one that Jesus will die for your sins? Do you think that's what God told them as they wandered 40 years in the wilderness? Jesus will die for your sins? Hey, Israelites, I'm bringing you into the promised land, and 1,400 years later, a man will come and die for your sins. Do you think that was the message that was preached to them? No. It doesn't make sense. You can go through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and you won't hear that message. Moses never said it, and God never told Moses to say it. So what did the Israelites hear that was good to them? What was the news that God told the Israelites? What was proclaimed to that first generation of Israelites was preached to the first century Hebrews and is preached today in Christ's church that we understand to be the gospel. What is that same message? You'll find that in Galatians 3, which we've already heard this morning, your promise of comfort and forgiveness. Simply verses 7 and 8. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham, not those of the flesh, those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and God announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. So now we're going back even further. Now it's not simply that first generation of Israelites, it's Abraham who heard the gospel. And what was that gospel that God preached to Abraham? All nations will be blessed through you. All nations, Abraham, will be blessed through you. That was the gospel God preached to Abraham. He announced the gospel. The idea that the gospel is Jesus died for your sins, that wouldn't make sense to Abraham either. And the Holy Spirit tells us here, the gospel is all nations will be blessed through Abraham. When did God say this to Abraham? He said it when he called Abraham to leave his homeland, to lead his family to go to the promised land that Yahweh would give him. And this is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. By the way, that land is the rest that Hebrews 4 talks about. Abram, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Galatians 3, the Holy Spirit tells us that is the gospel. All nations will be blessed through Abraham. So we can see clearly here that God is much more concerned than just the salvation of our souls. As great and glorious as that is, it's more than that. The message is greater. It's more expansive. The gospel is much more than Jesus died for your sins and Jesus died for my sins. The gospel has to do with not just one nation, Israel, but all nations in creation. It is in this light, brothers and sisters, that the gospel we believe is an international gospel. It is a gospel that extends outside of Israel to the whole creation. After Israel left Egypt, God did preach the gospel to them. The Israelites were to be a light to the Gentiles, to the nations. And all nations will be blessed through them, the seed of Abraham. When we consider our task here as the church, our task for gospel ministry, the biblical view is the one that considers not just one nation, not just the salvation of our individual souls, but God's redemption for the whole creation. Okay, let's pause there. The kids come forward for the children's message, please. Okay, I see your eyes, please. Good job. A little different children's message today. We're not going to pick on Caleb, okay? All right, who can raise their hand and tell me what have I been talking about in the first half of the message? I'm just kidding, Caleb. What have I been talking about the first half of the message?
Gospel.
Who can raise their hand and tell me what does gospel mean? Just the word. Just tell me what the word means.
That's
good news. Good news. Okay? Who can raise your hand, or actually raise your hand if you know John 3:16? If you know that verse by heart. Some of you do. Emma, what is John 3:16? Can you tell us? Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, right? There's a little bit more after that. Who can fill it in? That shall not perish but have everlasting life. I want to just focus on what Emma said at the beginning. For God so loved the what?
World.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Okay, so who can raise their hand and tell me, just from that, why did God send his Son? Lee? To die on the cross for our sins, that is right. But think about just what I've said, just that first part of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Why did God send his Son? No? Why did God send his Son? Because he loved the world. Because he loved the world. Raise your hand if God loves you. Yeah. I only see a couple hands. I don't think you're listening. Raise your hand if God loves you. Okay, more hands. And an extra hand went up. Good. Okay. Hands down. God loves you. But what else does God love?
The world.
Hessel? His creation. So did Jesus come to die for you? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Did Jesus come to die for you? Okay. Good job. Yes, thumbs up. Put hands down. Raise your hand if you can tell me what else did Jesus come to die for?
The world.
The world. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Did Jesus come to die for Israel? Yes. Okay. Did Jesus come to die for the United States? Yes. Did Jesus come to die for the Netherlands? Yeah. Did Jesus come to die for Iran? Yes. Did Jesus come to die for Russia? Yes. Jesus came to die for the whole creation, and he came to die for you. Is that a good message or a bad message? Jesus came to die for you. That's a really good one, isn't it? Okay, so let's pray and thank God for sending Jesus to die for our sins. Okay, fold your hands, close your eyes. Please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us and your whole creation in sending Jesus to die on the cross. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to believe you, to love you, and to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, good job. You kids can head back to your seats. So we go back with this idea in mind of God's love, his care for the whole creation. We go back to the preaching of that gospel in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. We need to hear that into what he's saying, because that is what he's saying. That's what we have to keep in mind. When we read the four gospel accounts, we hear that Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of God. I read Mark 1. I'll read it again. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the gospel. This gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the kingdom of God. And it has far-reaching implications outside these church walls. And has greater meaning than Jesus died for my sins. Now, it is truly good news that God no longer holds our sins against us. We love that. We rejoice in that. But we can clearly see that he has something greater in mind than just our individual souls. As mentioned with the kids, as we hear so often in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Now, we tend to see the whole world as every person. No, that's the whole creation. When the apostles preach the gospel throughout the book of Acts, we hear over and over again salvation being extended outside the borders of Israel. We hear of God's grace to both Jew and Gentile. There's no partiality with God. All nations will be blessed through Abraham. All nations will be blessed through his seed Israel. And all nations will be blessed through the chosen seed, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 4, the Holy Spirit connects God's people from the old covenant to the new covenant. I'll read verses 2, 6, and 11 again. Hebrews 4, 2. For we also, as new covenant Christians, we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did in the old covenant. But the message they heard was of no value because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Verse 6, it still remains that some will enter the rest of God, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them in the old covenant, they did not go in. Why? Because of disobedience. Verse 11, let us, therefore, as new covenant people, make every effort to enter that rest so that none of us will fall by following their example of disobedience. The connection between the Old Covenant and New Covenant people of God. Same gospel, same call to faith, same promise of rest, and same threat of rejection because of unbelief and disobedience. The first generation of Israel whom God saved, they heard the gospel, but it was of no value to them. Those Israelites of whom God placed his love, they did not enter his rest. Those same Israelites whom God called his treasured possession, they fell away due to unbelief. And in Hebrews 3 and 4, and in the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit tells the Hebrew Christians, you're like them. You heard the same gospel. You're like them. God saved you too. You're like them. You can fall away too. Just like they did. Hebrew Christians, you have the promise to enter God's rest too. You have the same exhortation to faith. But you need to believe. You need to obey. You need to persevere. You must believe God. Same message. And the belief in God includes trusting in God. Trusting in what He has graciously and lovingly done for you. And for the whole creation. You have to believe that. And you have to trust what He promises to do for you by the power of His Holy Spirit. Believe that God will disciple the nations through His church by His Spirit. And when we pray, when we gather as the body of Christ for worship, when we leave these walls and go minister as the church by His Spirit, we do so by faith. In love for God, in love for one another, in love for our enemy. We don't limit God as Jesus died for my soul. But we minister with the belief that He saves a soul. He saves a life. He saves a family to work in a community. All for the progress of the building up of the kingdom of God. He has bigger sights than we do. Jesus did come to die for the forgiveness of sins, for you and for me, and for all nations. As the seed of Abraham, all nations will be blessed through Him. Not just Israel, not just the United States. God is concerned for every nation under heaven. And the mission of God is for the whole earth. God so loved the whole world that He sent His only begotten Son to die. Not a square inch of this creation, Jesus doesn't say, mine. I claim it in my death on the cross. I claim it in my resurrection. I claim it in my ascension to the right hand of the Father. The whole earth belongs to Jesus. He claims it all. So our task as the church is to combine what we've heard. You've heard from God this morning. We must combine what we've heard with faith. We have heard the great and glorious uplifting message of the gospel of Jesus Christ for the kingdom of God. We have heard it this day. I can't give you a greater message. Frankly, I don't want to. That's the message of God. That's what we need to believe. We have heard that we belong to Him, that Jesus claimed us. We are His, just like the old covenant people. He loves us. And we are His treasured possession. This is our great and glorious reality in creation. This is the grace of our God. But we must receive it by faith. For the promises of God, now and forever, find their yes and their amen in Jesus Christ. So take hold of them by faith. Grab Jesus by faith. And if we do not, if we reject the message, either through outright rejection or inaction, these promises mean nothing to us. And the threat is that we fall away and we die, just like that first generation of Israel. So, brothers and sisters, the message from the Word of God for you is the gospel of God. When you leave today and the kids ask you on the ride home, what did we hear today? We heard the gospel of God. Jesus died for you. Every single one of you. Jesus died for you. And He died for the whole world. And all nations will be blessed through you, children of Abraham, by faith. Right? Raise your hand if you're a child of Abraham. Should all have your hands up. Galatians 3 says, those who have the faith of Abraham are the children of Abraham, not the people of the flesh. Those who have the faith of Abraham. So, your exhortations, respond by faith. Do not reject this message because it has dire consequences. Do not harden your hearts like the Israelites did in the Old Covenant where they did not enter God's rest. Combine the message that you hear with faith, with love for God, and obey Him. Here in Hebrews, belief and obedience go hand in hand. You can't say, I love Jesus and not obey His commands, right? You can't say you believe in God and not obey Him. They go together. You cannot separate them. So love God, love your neighbor. And if you do, if you persevere by faith, you will enter God's promised rest. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray, please. Keep, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy church with thy perpetual mercy, And because the frailty of man without thee cannot but fall, keep us ever by thy help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us respond in faith to what we've heard from God's word by standing and singing.